This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Saltro Fungicide Seed Treatment from Syngenta for consistently superior sudden death syndrome protection without the stress.
Markets were closed today as the country celebrates the life and the contributions and the leadership of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. But hey, after the way the markets traded on Friday, I'll bet there's a lot of traders that can't wait for the opening bell to ring.
From Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we feature a conversation between Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths and Greg Dowd, the chief ag negotiator at the U.S. Trade Representative's Office. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorrie.
Yeah, Davis, how are you today? Good to talk with you. What a weekend.
Happy Monday, my man. Yes.
And here we are on a Monday celebrating the life, the times, the contributions, the leadership of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It's one of the most inspiring guys in our history of this great country. And it's good to celebrate those that deserve the celebrating, and this one does. This is
definitely a man of substance, worthy of the leadership role which was thrust upon him. An example for us all, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, I'm telling you, the way that the markets closed on Friday, it's like I said, there are some people out there that absolutely cannot wait to get this open and get rolling again this evening when we get the overnight trade started.
Yeah, corn went plum crazy on Friday. Straight to the upside, baby.
Yeah, it did, no doubt about it. And after the initial reaction that we got following the signing of phase one of the agreement, and the reaction that we got when the Senate voted 89-10 to pass USMCA. And by the way, on Friday on the free-for-all, it said didn't know how Senator Warren voted on USMCA. She voted for it.
Turns out she did, yep.
Yeah. There were some that did not, and one of the big reasons that they did not was, at least based on comments leading up to it, was because it didn't mention anything about climate change, or very little about climate change. So we've got that to consider as we move forward. But the way that the corn market traded after phase one, the way that the grain markets traded after Senate passed USMCA, there was some stark concern going into Friday's trade and a three-day weekend and how that was going to impact things going into the holiday weekend for the markets. So it was good to see the strength come into it. Why don't we get into the news? What happened?
Sure thing. Well, Chip, after spending a few weeks in a leadership role, wheat futures last week moved to the second string squad after the U.S. and China signed phase one of the trade agreement. That put corn and soybeans in the leadership role. And on Friday, corn was leading to the upside, which also encouraged short covering in the wheat market. Adding support to the wheat market Friday was also word that French wheat seedings fell 10% from a year ago due to heavy rains. Wheat acres in France are expected to be the lowest in 20 years. When trade wrapped up on Friday, March hard red futures were 9.5 cents higher, 494 and a quarter. March soft red futures gained a nickel to close at 571 and a quarter. March spring wheat up 9¾, 560 even. Chip.
Yeah. The situation in France, that is going to help to provide some underlying support for this wheat market, I think. But they got rain in Ukraine. They got rain in Russia. That wheat crop, I think, perked up a bit now. That's going to be hard to overcome.
Well, the chart picture in corn turned decidedly negative on Thursday last week, with most contracts closing below key support levels. Professional trading funds were aggressive sellers on Thursday, and open interest spiked to the upside, suggesting the funds were getting more comfortable on the short side of the market. Then, rumors that China is buying U.S. corn hit the market. The rumors triggered fund short covering heading into a three-day weekend. Traders know a three-day weekend leaves plenty of time for China to make some big purchases without triggering any immediate price price reaction. As a result, the lack of a daily export sales announcement for corn early this week could make the market vulnerable to renewed selling interest. Right. The daily corn chart looks very choppy right now, but corn futures did post an upside reversal on the weekly chart. Some say that's a strong indicator the market is ready to move higher. Heading into the three-day weekend, March corn futures were 13¾ cents higher, 3.89¼. July corn gained 12 cents to 4.01. December 2020 corn closed at 4.02¾, up 8¾ cents. They earned their jig today, didn't they, Chip?
Yeah, they did. But boy, after the rumors on Friday, we better see some export sales of corn announced.
Absolutely.
It doesn't necessarily have to be to China. It could be South Korea. It could be Japan. Sure. It could be Vietnam.
Yeah.
But there better be some sales announced.
Corn futures may have posted the most impressive daily gains on Friday, but the modest gains in beans looked very impressive on the daily bar chart. March bean prices spiked support at Thursday's low, then recovered to post a high-range close. Chart watchers say the return of buying interest should encourage more price strength this week. November bean futures matched support at Thursday's low before recovering to close above that day's high. The resulting double bottom in November beans at 953.5 will be critical support for this week. Bean trade clearly took on a prove-it attitude regarding potential sales to China, and traders will be searching for signs of demand starting tomorrow morning. When the markets closed last week, March bean futures were 5¾ cents higher at 929¾. July beans up 5½, 955½. November beans closed at 960½, up 4¼ cents.
Chip. You know, I got to repeat what I said on Friday about this and the demand. Maybe we were just looking in the wrong direction. Maybe we saw some of that demand starting to come into the U.S. market with the trigger being phase one when the Philippines bought a chunk of U.S. soybean meal last week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to turn the Philippines into a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, that may have been the signal that we were looking for, that the buying has started.
Yep. Well, let's check your livestock side real quick. February live cattle futures posted a high range open and a higher range close on Friday. That means an attempt to push prices to the downside not only failed, but was rejected. Still, it was an inside day on the charts for front month cattle, suggesting the long-term sideways trading range will continue this week. On Friday, February cattle futures were 22½ cents higher at 126.35. April cattle futures jumped 82½ to 127.25. March feeders firmed 17½ cents to 145 even.
Yeah, hey, in that February cattle, that formation that we saw there on the candlesticks chart is a hammer reversal. Yeah, and I mean, they dropped the hammer on the guys that wanted to sell that market. It does suggest that we've got a chance now of sending that February contract back up to that 128 level before the end of this week. It's going to be interesting trade to watch.
Yep. Well, on the snout side, it's been widely expected the pork will be an ag commodity of choice for China to satisfy agreed-to purchases of U.S. ag commodities, and it's still expected to help China purchase nearly $40 billion of ag goods this year. But for now, traders are taking a prove-it attitude and want to see new and bigger purchases of pork. On Friday last week, February hogs were 80 cents higher at 67.67½, and April hogs firmed 32½ cents to 74.10. Chip.
All right. Thank you so much, Davis. It was a big day on Friday. There's no doubt about that. There are some people out there that are saying, hey, you know, you got too low when the market was going down after the trade agreements. Don't get too high.
Right.
All right. Am I right here at Joe Rikers? Don't get too high when the market starts to come back. Yep. I think that's a good point. I think it's something that we ought to talk about when we come back. So when we come back with AgriTalk, Davis and I are going to go over that. We've got a couple of strategies that I think might work for you in the year ahead, too. That's next on AgriTalk. When it comes to sudden death syndrome in soybeans, you don't want to risk your yield potential to an inferior seed treatment. The yield-robbing disease can destroy 25 million bushels a year, so consistent, powerful protection you can trust is key. Dale Ireland, technical product lead with Syngenta, is here to discuss how the new SDS protection from Syngenta Sultro Fungicide Seed Treatment is an upgrade in SDS protection. Dale, what can you tell us?
Saltro really offers the U.S. soybean grower the next level of sudden death syndrome and nematode protection compared to what the competitive market has been offering. We just see more consistency without any phyto or negative plant response early. The plants grow off very robustly, very uniformly. We have more protection against sudden death syndrome than the leading competitive treatment. In fact, in a multi-year data set, we have a statistically significant 3-bushel advantage over the leading competitor in that SDS nematode space. So along with its application benefits, we're really excited about being able to introduce Saltro for the 2020 season.
So Dale, how did Saltro perform in the studies conducted in 2019?
We've had some really nice performances in university tests. The University of Kentucky, we had a very nice test there at Princeton, Kentucky, where we had very nice yield advantage over the yield of the leading competitor in the market space. The same situation was true in Valmyer, Illinois. And then we had the same result up at the University of Minnesota. It's really the next level of SDS protection.
That was Dale Ireland, Technical Product Lead for Syngenta Seed Care. For more information on Saltro and superior SDS protection without the stress, visit SyngentaUS.com/Saltro.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Mr. Chairman, as a corn root, I speak for millions of my kind who can't be here to defend themselves. Pests are stalking our stocks and undermining our roots. But we can elect to protect with a legacy of strength. Punchovotivo 2.0 seed treatment system increases nearby microbial activity to help us grow stronger. That's smart. Ladies and gentlemen, please, this is a corn roots movement. Ask your BASF seed advisor about Punchovotivo 2.0 seed treatment. Always read and follow label directions.
Just like the weather, crop insurance keeps changing. And that's why Farm Credit Services of America employs full-time crop insurance officers who understand those changes, deliver the best options to your farm, and the coverage you expect. The weather can be surprising. Your crop insurance shouldn't be. Discover the difference with a no-cost, no-obligation crop insurance plan review from Farm Credit Services of America. Learn more by calling 800-884-FARM.
You probably can't tell from the sound of it, but Simtrex is a different kind of dry fertilizer with new potential waiting to be harvested. Every dark compact granule is engineered to efficiently deliver slow-release bio-based nutrition that improves soil health and increases yields for a 3 to 5 times return on investment. Unleash the power of your land. Ask for Simtrex in your next blend or visit futureoffertilizer.com.
It doesn't matter what you grow or how many acres you farm, Commodity Classic will help you become an even better farmer.
You don't have to be a big farmer to come here. You know, I could tell you a 1,000, 1,500 acre grower or a 500 acre grower is going to value these things, and he's going to do a lot better job when he leaves here. You know, it's going to make him more conscious of what's going on in his farm than ever before.
Commodity Classic, February 27th through 29th in San Antonio. Visit CommodityClassic.com.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
And welcome back on this Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. It's a federal holiday. That means markets are closed. So, Davis, we get an opportunity right now to kind of reflect on what was a roller coaster of a week last week.
And after so much time spent trying to figure out what does this agreement look like, what does that agreement look like, what is the actual market response going to be on signing day? I mean, let's not forget there were high hopes that we'd be limit up across the board at the signing ceremony with China, among some people anyway, and that certainly did not turn out to be the case.
No, it certainly did not turn out to be the case. And I think for those that were anticipating that there was going to be a big move to the upside, I think they thought that there was going to be some items in the agreement that quite frankly, we'd been told were not going to be in there. Specific commodities that were going to be purchased, specific amounts of commodities that were going to be purchased. Brian Grady, Pro Farmer editor, said it so well that the market was disappointed over the fact that things weren't in the agreement that we knew were not going to be in the agreement.
Right.
Okay.
Which, as a standalone statement, makes zero sense.
Right.
But taking into consideration our current even political climate, just general national psychology, it does make sense.
Yes, absolutely it makes sense. And it puts market participants, and when I say that, I mean trading funds, I mean day traders, I mean small speculators, large speculators, and, of course, farmers. It makes all market participants vulnerable to just the whipsaw action and getting caught up in it, Davis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to kind of talk about right now.
Okay.
And that is when you've got a market, or when we've got a market that is trading the way that it is trading, you cannot get too high. You cannot get too low. You cannot let a big move to the downside freak you out. You can't let a big recovery in the market like we saw on Friday erase all of your concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. You've got to, even when those around you are running around with their hair on fire, like was happening at the end of last week, even when that is happening, you've got to stay calm. You've got to have a thought process. You've got to have a decision-making process. You've got to have a plan in place that will execute and take the emotion out of the market, Davis. Pro Farmer did it. Pro Farmer made some wheat sales last week. Do you know why?
Why is that?
Not because they thought that the market was done going up. Not because they thought, oh, geez, we're not getting the reaction from this market that we thought we could get after the signing of phase one of the Chinese agreement. It's because they had a price target in place, and that price target was hit in the front month contract.
So rather than trying to wait out the highs and just go all in at the ultimate high, it's so much safer, such a better approach, like you say, to have targets in place, you know?
Absolutely.
That whole scale of selling, I forget who we were talking to about that last week. What a great thought. You know, you hit, I forget where he started, let's say $4 in corn.
405.
405, you know, 10%. And then what was it, 415? We're going to go another 10%. 425, another 10%.
Right.
It's a measured approach, and you've talked about it before. I'm thinking of, I think Joe Vaclavic has mentioned it. Todd Bubba Horowitz has mentioned taking the emotion out of this. Well, how do you do that? You do that with pencil, touch, and paper and drawing yourself a map to get to where you need to be and follow the map.
Yeah. And standing orders. Mm-hmm. And standing orders at the elevator. I think it is so important with the basis environment that we're trading in right now, you need to be prepared for moves like we saw on Friday when we got back most of Thursday's losses. You need to be prepared for something like that. It got front month corn, it got old crop corn back up into the range that it had been trading in since the middle of November. Well, you know, if you've decided, doggone it, if I can get that again, I'm going to take that. You should have had an order in place to take that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's and don't just look at the old crop contracts. People are at risk of doing that and forgetting that this DEIS 20 contract is going to give you some opportunities as well. When I was talking with Luke Beckman last week when we were over in Norfolk, it was on a day that the market was down sharply, and I said, boy, that 404 in the DEIS 20 corn futures looks pretty good now, doesn't it? That's when we were at under 395.
Yep.
Well, we're not quite back to 404 on Friday's action, but we're getting back into that territory where and you should be prepared and thinking about your 2020 marketing. A strategy. Now, and the scale-up strategy, I think, works fine. I'm not going to discourage anybody from using a scale-up strategy. Especially,
I feel like there's a but coming here, though.
Yeah, especially if you are into a positive return on what you expect to put in, or what you have into the 2019 crop production,
right,
what you expect to have into the 2020 on a per acre basis. Mm-hmm. If you're into a positive ROI, scale her up, baby.
Yeah.
Scale her up. I'm all in favor. Now, if you're not, and you are in a mode where you are managing risk, managing risk in a way that is first managing some slight losses, secondly is managing break even, and then managing your positive return. Mm-hmm. I like that trap strategy that we've talked about several times, Davis.
Oh, sure. Yep.
It's been a while since we've talked about it, but yeah, I want to
can you just
go,
run that down? Can you sketch
you
it
bet,
for us?
You bet. So let's say that $4 is that first line in the sand. You get a close over $4 in a scale-up strategy, and I'm talking about in the DEIS 20 contract.
Mm-hmm.
You get that first close over $4. In a scale-up strategy, that's your first trigger, and you pull the trigger, and you make that 5%, that 10% sale, whatever it is that you're comfortable doing. Now, with a trap strategy, that's just the first line in the sand. So the market then would have to close back under $4, and if it closes under $4, well, you've closed below what should now be a support level, so you go ahead and you make that first sale. Now, using this strategy, keep in mind, you're never going to sell the high, but it will allow a market to move to the upside so that you can concentrate sales closer to the high than you would with a scale-up sale. So, that over $4. Now, 410 is your next line. I'm just going to use dime increments here. So, if 410 is your next line in the sand, you wait for that close over 410. Once you've closed over 410, you now you still don't make a sale. You're going to make the market prove that it's quote-unquote done going up, but you increase the amount that you are willing to sell on that first sale. So if you are willing to do 5% on the first one, now you're going to add a 10% sale to it. So a close back under 410 is going to make a 15% sale.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the next move above 420, you know, now we're into the positive ROIs. Now you need to be thinking, I need to be a little bit more aggressive. So if the market moves above 420 before closing below 410, you still haven't made a sale, but now I'm increasing the amount that I'm willing to sell again. So I'm adding a 15% sale to it. So now if the market closes back below 420, now I'm selling 30% of the crop, 30% of my expected production. See what we're doing? You're concentrating your sales at that higher level rather than just scaling up. And it's allowing the market to move higher before you make that initial sale.
Mm-hmm.
In an environment like this, when on Friday we had rumors that China was making some purchases of U.S. corn coming off of the PNW, you got to pay attention to it, and you've got to give the market an opportunity to run to the upside. I just think that's really important in here, Davis.
Yeah.
Something that we need to keep in mind.
Good stuff there.
Yeah, yeah. It's a strategy that we developed, following the 95 season, the 95-96 season, when it just – you know, if you didn't use a strategy like that, it just absolutely tore you up.
Don't predict price, protect it.
protected.
I believe is what I've heard you say about that.
Absolutely. All right. Hey, thank you for listening today. Don't go anywhere when we come back. Clinton Griffiths from Ag Day is going to have a conversation with the chief ag negotiator at the U.S. Trade Rep's office. That's next on AgriTalk.
Commodity Classic is unlike any other event in agriculture because it's created by farmers for farmers. Farmers determine the entire schedule, from the educational sessions to the trade show to the entertainment. Your experience is focused on the questions you have, the challenges you face. You'll walk away with answers, ideas, and a renewed energy about your operation because farmers just like you have made sure you will. See your future clearly at Commodity Classic in San Antonio, February 27th through 29th. Visit CommodityClassic.com.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught is out of the office, so I get to pick the market move that really matters. And when we take a look at Friday's trade action, yes, it was impressive in corn. Yes, it was impressive in soybeans. But the market that I look at, I'm going to go back to hogs. Hogs have been trading for the last 2 months in a $6 trading range, roughly between $66 and $72 in the February contract. On Friday, the market did not fully test support at Thursday's low and recovered and posted a high range close. That trade just below $68 is going to be pointing us higher, I think, through the rest of the week. We've got a challenge of resistance at the $70 level coming up in the near future in February hogs. That's AgriTalk's Tech Talk.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Five conferences, one location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the five highly regarded top producer conferences: Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and, for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
And welcome back to AgriTalk on this Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Markets are closed today, but we're hitting it hard. And guys, Friday afternoon, Ag Day anchor Clinton Griffiths, Farm Journal editor, he had an opportunity to talk with Greg Dowd. Ambassador Dowd is the chief ag negotiator for the U.S. Trade Representative Office. He's been all over the agreements that have been announced recently. Clinton shared the interview with me, and Ambassador Dowd was nice enough to allow us to use some of his comments from what was an extremely free-flowing conversation. And we're going to share them some of it with you here on AgriTalk. So let's go ahead and get started with the Phase 1 agreement with China. There is still plenty of skepticism, and a healthy dose is okay, but there's plenty of skepticism in the market that China will live up to its end of the deal, that at the end of the day, China was probably going through the motions to appease the U.S. negotiating team. Ambassador Dowd addressed that head on. Go ahead with take one.
In that document, you will see over 50 specific commitments with a time frame associated with it.
Fantastic.
And what you have to appreciate is that in the past year or a little over a year, the Vice Minister of Agriculture and myself have been in 33 negotiating sessions. We have spent hundreds of hours talking about these issues. So what you have in that document is on paper, after that conversation, this is the expectation of what has to be addressed and fixed. And and when China signed that, they committed to doing that in that time frame. So these are specific commitments on the part of China.
Right.
And so the point being is that we enter into force here 30 days after signing, and then after that, those periods, whether it's 5 days or 10 days, or you'll see a multitude of 20 working days or 1 month or 30 days. And the reason those are different, there are two reasons for that. Number one, over 33 different sessions, we negotiated different, in some issues we were talking about certain time frames early on, and as we went along, we got more towards this notion of 20 working days. It is a decent time frame to do that. The other side of it is we did also intend to kind of space things out a little bit. So not everything was due all on the same day. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, absolutely.
So that, I think that gives you some context and understanding of why that is the way it is. There's those two primary reasons for that. So that in and of itself with USDA and USTR, that's going to be a really monumental undertaking in the coming months.
Yeah, and there's a lot of
details.
We
also have to implement USMCA.
That's true.
And the things with Canada on dairy and wheat and wine, there will be some effort there to get that done as well.
You know, it sounds like organized chaos, doesn't it? The staggered implementation periods. So this, we're going to give you 5 days to make some progress on it and get it done. That one's going to take 20 days. Okay, this one's a little tougher, so we're going to go with 30 days. So it may be some, it may appear to be some organized chaos, or let's just say it may appear to be chaos, but at least there's some organization behind it, according to Ambassador Dowd. So how long is it going to take to see some real impacts? There are those timelines that Ambassador Dowd just outlined and the implementation periods that are critical. It explains why there's a bit of a delay in the actual sales. But Ambassador Dowd also explained to Clinton that in his experience with past trade agreements, it takes as much as 10 years to feel the full influence of that trade agreement. Clinton asked Dowd flat out if it's going to take that long with China. Clip four.
Do you think it will take 10 years to really fully realize, or how long will it take to realize the impact of this Phase 1 agreement?
That is exactly where I was going next. And so let's talk about beef again, just because it's an easy one to think about. So entry into force on this deal is 30 days from Wednesday. So, what is it, Valentine's Day or whenever it is. And then in the agreement it says China will make the changes on beef within 30 days, within 1 month. Now, if you go back and look at, you know, we opened the poultry market 14th of November.
Mm-hmm.
It was on Wednesday or Tuesday. The first shipment of poultry arrived in China. So what I'm saying here is 30 days entry into a force, 30 days to get the changes made, and another 60 days to actually potentially get beef into China. So we're talking about at a minimum 120 days, 4 months, before we have the first shipment or land in China. I would argue is probably a best case scenario. See where I'm going with this?
I think where you're going is that the frustration that we've heard over the last 2 days about, an immediate impact, maybe we just need to wait a little bit.
Well, the answer is, that's right, it's going to take a little more time here. These things take time to become operational.
So 4 months, 4 months to make landfall in China from the time that the agreement is struck to implementation, to working out the protocols on how things are going to be handled at our ports and handled at their ports and all the different issues in between that and actual shipment. You know, the chicken paws that made landfall last week, it took 4 months. It took 4 months to get it done. Okay, so in the overall scheme of things, one question that I've been struggling with, I'll admit, is why should we believe that this agreement with China is any different from the agreements that China has struck in the past, and in some cases, many cases, has chosen to ignore? Clip six.
Well, here's the point to make. China agreed to this. The vice premier signed this, they've committed to this. And in terms of agricultural products, the vice minister made it very clear to me. China wants our agricultural products. They want our food. They want our dairy products. They want our infant formula. They want our pet food. They want our beef. It was just the complexity of figuring out how two very different systems could work together and come to means to get it done. They know we have some of the best food in the world. They know U.S. brands. Their consumers are very keenly aware. It was just how to get there.
Yeah, they want our product. And we've been talking about that on AgriTalk for quite some time. And with African swine fever and the reduction in pork, you know, last week, we talked about their 2019 pork production being off like 20% from the previous year. And you think, 20%? Man, shouldn't it be more than that? Because they did. Well, what they were doing was they were slaughtering that product, slaughtering those animals, making pork, putting it into frozen storage before they died. So that artificially lifted up their pork production. And it was still off 20%. So now that they're in the recovery mode for 2020, what is their production going to be in the year ahead? Okay, so they want our product. Look at what's happening to their food prices. They not only want our product, they got to have it. That's my view. That's my view on it. I think that's very important to remember. So, and what was part of the struggle in just how they were going to get there? I think language was part of that struggle in getting there. Ambassador Dowd talked about arguing over the meaning of a word for more than an hour, but you can tell that he developed a huge level of respect for his Chinese counterparts. Clip five.
When we were doing this with China, we had 30 people behind me. The vice minister had 30 or 40 people behind him. We had our best experts in all of these areas. He had all of his best experts. They worked so hard. We worked so hard. These are very tedious, technical, scientific, difficult issues to sort through. I can't tell you. The vice minister worked really, really hard to help figure this out. Very earnestly, very professionally.
So he's referring to Vice Minister Liu He in that. I think that's really important. They obviously had their times in those 33 meetings where they were going to disagree, where there was going to be arguments, where there was going to be some real conflict in the negotiations. But at the end of the day, you can hear the respect level that Ambassador Dowd developed for Vice Premier Liu He. I think that's really important. I think they have, and not just from the clips that we've played for you here, but in other parts of the conversation that Ambassador Dowd had with Clinton Griffiths, you can tell that they develop, and boy, it's hard for me to say this, but you can tell that the ambassador developed a level of trust with his Chinese counterparts. I know. I mean, you want to trust them only as far as you can throw them, right? I get it. But there is that level of trust, and I think we need to give phase one the benefit of the doubt. And let's see how this develops as some of those timelines are struck. All right. Thanks for listening with us today on a Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. The markets are closed, like I said. But, hey, we've got a chart update coming for you next. Carrie Artak. Artak Advisory up next on AgriTalk.
Five conferences, one location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the five highly regarded top producer conferences: Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got equipment to sell privately but tired of scams and hassles? Then list it for sale on machinerypete.com, the simple and secure way to buy and sell equipment online. Reach millions of buyers nationwide. Connect with legitimate buyers. Get pricing guidance. Don't wait. Sell it yourself on MachineRepeat.com. Visit MachineRepeat.com and click on Sell Mine.
Mr. Chairman, as a corn root, I speak for millions of my kind who can't be here to defend themselves. Pests are stalking our stocks and undermining our roots. But we can elect to protect with a legacy of strength. Punchovotivo 2.0 seed treatment system increases nearby microbial activity to help us grow stronger. That's smart. Ladies and gentlemen, please, this is a corn roots movement. Ask your BASF seed advisor about Punchovotivo 2.0 seed treatment. Always read and follow label directions.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Thank you for joining us on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Markets were closed, but Clinton just had a great conversation with Greg Dowd, the chief ag negotiator for the U.S. Trade Rep Office. Really important stuff to think about as we move forward here and we start to see China live up to the Phase One Agreement, USMCA be implemented. It's Greg's going to be an important source for us going forward over the next few weeks and even months. All right. It's Monday afternoon. Markets are closed, but we still got Kerry for you. Kerry, how you doing today?
Doing great, Chip. Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely. Don't forget, everybody, Kerry has a two-week free trial waiting for you at artacadvisory.com. That's artacadvisory.com. Kerry, just go there, get signed up. Kerry will take care of you after that. All right, let's go ahead and get started with March corn. Boy, it was a big move on Friday.
Sure was. Nice comeback. It didn't really shift, though, my big picture. I mean, my big picture is actually pretty constructive corn anyway. We tested a 15-year channel bottom in early September, and that's been holding beautifully since the 2016 lows on about a half a dozen occasions. It is an area, 356 even, that can absorb selling really through 2020. And following the test in early September, I've been mentioning the 430s as a likely target. At this point in time, I'm looking, late spring, early summer, 436 even. Now, in the midst of that wide range between 356 even ultra long-term support and that 436 even kind of a midterm resistance area, I still have a pivot point in the 390s. I've been talking 390 even now for the last few weeks, but I'm raising that just a little bit to 394 and three quarter, given the heightened volatility. 394 and three quarter is an area that can contain buying, through February trade, and holding below 394 and three quarter, we could fall back to that 356 even area, say by March expiration or maybe by the end of February. I don't have a signal per se, but we dropped into the mid 370s this week. We came back nicely, though, as you're well aware, by Friday's close. So given the overall stable to even bullish dynamic above 356 even, expecting 436 even into later spring, closing this week Friday above that 394 and three quarter pivot point should not come as a great surprise. And that would be a nice buy signal that should play out through February trade. I would then expect 417 even within about 2 to 3 weeks.
Right.
And that 436 even midterm resistance area I mentioned a moment ago, likely then by March contract expiration, where the broader corn market can actually top out through spring and into early summer.
Well, you've been so consistent on that message right there, Kerry. I don't feel like the corn market has done anything to discourage your outlook, has it?
No, it really hasn't. I mean, we've had some low volatility trade until last week, so there really hasn't been anything that's needed to shake me off the technical path anyway. And many of these levels are longer term in nature, so they're on monthly charts that don't change very much. But yeah, exactly. I'm still stable to bullish corn through 2020.
Gotcha.
And if we close above 394 and 3/4, then I think for me that's the buy signal into later winter. Closing above 394 and 3/4, then we're kind of off to the races of the upside.
Perfect.
On to March soybeans. Kind of a similar situation here, but a little bit different. I mean, I've got long-term support well below the market right now at 861 even. We tested that actually in early December, and following that test, I've been talking 980s long-term resistance, like corn late spring 988 even as a target for the broader soybean market. And inside that wide range between 861 even floor and 988 even ceiling, I've got a pivot point this week at 928 even. That actually rises from last week's 921 half that I mentioned on your show last week, and we got down to that area last week, and we came back a little bit on Friday. So 928 even, we closed at 929 3/4 on Friday. As long as we close the week Friday above 928 even, this market remains constructive, basically into later February, early March, where that 988 even longer-term target is likely over that time horizon. 988 even is a significant ceiling that can absorb broader market buying pressures through summer trade. Now, downside, if we close Friday below 928 even, then I think all bets are off to the upside. We should then, I hate to use the word should, but those of you who trade the bigger picture over the next 3 to 5 weeks should allow for 861 even, a retest of that long-term support area where the broader bean market can actually bottom out through spring. And as I mentioned a moment ago, above which 988 even remains a longer-term big picture target. And finally, April live cattle, I'm still expecting 132 even as a longer-term target. We're closing in on it ever so gradually. I mean, we traded down for a few days last week. We came back a little bit on Friday. This is all true above 125 and 3/4 this week. So 125 and 3/4 can contain selling through February trade, and above which I'm still expecting that 132 even long-term ceiling, probably over that time horizon by the end of February. 132 even, significant channel top that goes back about 4 years of trade, can contain buying, broader market buying pressures into summer activity. And once we test 132 even, the market is then susceptible to bearish rotation into later spring and summer. Downside on that note, if we close Friday below 125.75, then the market has indicated a good high through February, probably through the balance of April contract life, 115.50, then in reach, say, by the end of February or into March, where the broader cattle market can actually bottom out into summer trade. So 125.75, significant pivot point this week, and above which 132 even long-term resistance remains kind of our next target.
Okay, this is a great opportunity for people to understand how you look at these charts, Kerry, because when you made this flip to April cattle, which we should, but we're still basically looking at the same upside target at that 132 level, right?
That's right, because I use long-term weekly continuation charts in my analysis, and because of that, and I use volume rollover. You've got two ways of rolling over a long-term chart. One is through the complete expiration of the February contract, which will occur in February, of course. But what I do is I kind of jump the gun a little bit, and I follow the money, if you will. I follow the volume. So April now is exceeding February this week for the first time, and so now I'm using the April contract as front and center on those long-term charts. So 132 even, the April contract basically inherited, if you will, that 132 even long-term resistance area.
Kerry, it's always fun to talk with you. Thank you, man. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Chip. Take care now.
That is Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. All right. Thank you for listening today, guys. You got to come back tomorrow morning. We're going to have coverage from the American Farm Bureau Federation meeting down in Austin from John Herrick. That's tomorrow on AgriTalk. Attention landowners and farmers, the Conservation Reserve Program, CRP, is now open. CRP is a great alternative for difficult-to-farm acres. It improves farm profitability and delivers high-quality wildlife habitat, cleaner water, and healthier soils. The CRP sign-up is going on right now, but it ends on February 28th. Find a local Pheasants Forever biologist at pheasantsforever.org/CRP or visit your local USDA service center. Farm the best, CRP the rest. This message brought to you by Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever.
Five conferences, one location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the five highly regarded top producer conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and, for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Thanks to Syngenta, producers of Saltro fungicide seed treatment, for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about reserving your supply for 2020. Always read and follow label instructions.